Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The world is a mess right now. That is a quote from an essay written by a teenager back in June. I found it revealing to look at our current problems through the eyes of someone in her teen years. It wasn't just that our country was in crisis or that we were in the middle of a pandemic. It was that the whole world was a mess. She went on to say how emotional for her to watch a video of a man dying at the hands of a police officer. She said she was actually in tears. Now, I recall growing up in the 1960s when I was a teenager, and we had to do drills in school in case of a nuclear bomb attack. Some of you may remember that as well. During the Cuban Missile Crisis, it did seem like we were on the brink of nuclear war. It really did feel like the world was in a mess. I remember a great sense of concern about the missile crisis, but I don't remember seeing anyone in tears over it. When the Cuban Missile Crisis was over, we were relieved, and we pretty much went back to the way things were. But this is different. For the teenager that wrote the essay, it was much more emotional. And for many of us, it is much more emotional. I have seen older adults that I thought were like a rock also in tears because of the combination of these crises. And I have felt tearful at times myself. It seems like this COVID-19 crisis and the virus just keeps spreading. And the demonstrations against racism and the questions of questionable police tactics keep mounting. Florida keeps setting records for a number of cases and hospitalizations. It's hard to cope with all that's going on. I used to just walk out of our condo to go to a grocery store. Now I have to make sure that I have a mask on, make sure I have a wipe or a rubber glove to open the doors, make sure that there is no more than two people in the elevator, and make sure to keep at least 6 feet between us at all times. Then I get to the grocery store and have to make sure that the shopping cart is wiped down, walk only one way down the aisle, and then I may not be able to get what I want because the aisles are full of empty shelves where cleaning products, toilet paper, rice, and baking supplies used to be. Seriously? They're even out of Crisco? I go to check out, and I stand on a big X on the floor where I'm supposed to stand and deal with the checkout clerk finally through a large plastic barrier. Before, I was just as happy not even knowing something like Zoom existed, but now I am on intimate terms with it, and despite being supposedly retired, I have several Zoom calls every week, sometimes more than one a day. Also, I am discovering more about the ingrained racism within our culture, and again, to be honest, within me. It is exhausting. Despite staying home and doing a lot of nothing, it is still exhausting and sometimes depressing. I hear terms like a new normal. I don't really want to hear that. No, I don't really want this to be a new normal. Sometimes I just want to go back to the way things were. But I realize whatever comes out of this time, it will not be like the way things were. I don't know what the end result will look like, but it just won't be the same. There is a real sense of loss here. As imperfect as it all was before the pandemic, it was familiar. I was used to it. I knew how to deal with it. I miss sitting near to our fellow parishioners here in church. I miss going to a restaurant and not worrying about a virus lurking in a server or the people at the next table. I miss going to the dentist and not going through temperature checks, questionnaires, and decontamination procedure before I even see the hygienist. I miss being able to jump on a plane and going to see our children and grandchildren. I miss going to sports games and sitting in a crowd, rooting for the home team. There are some things that are just gone, either temporarily or permanently. Taking communion at church, gone. Tickets we had to the Lightning games, gone. Tickets to see the first round of March Madness basketball tournament, gone. Trips to the places that we had planned way ahead in the fall, gone. And let's be honest, this is nothing compared to the loss of those who are suddenly unemployed. This is nothing compared to those who actually contracted the virus and are or who have been seriously sick. This is nothing compared to those who have even lost their home or don't have enough to eat. This is nothing compared to what my brothers and sisters who happen to be black are going through and have been through most of their lives. This is nothing compared to those people who lost their businesses because of the lockdown or due to looting and fires. And of course, this is nothing compared to those who have lost their loved ones, either to the virus or to a police overreaction or any other cause. And this is real loss. This leads to grief, and grief can lead to tears. I feel like asking, when will this stop? Will we ever get to a place where I can hug my grandchildren again or have equal justice for all races? So sometimes it does feel like the world is in a mess, and I just want it to be fixed. Now that I've gotten you all depressed, if you haven't been already, where does this leave us? Has this provoked a true crisis of faith? The Bible could hardly anticipate something like this mess. And just when I thought that, I was studying the scriptures for today in preparation for this sermon. First, I came to the Isaiah reading. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. The people of Israel had been in exile. They had lost their way of life. They had lost their homeland. They had lost their homes, their temple, and many had lost their lives or their loved ones. The prophet is speaking to those people who had incredible loss. A promise of rebirth, new life, a promise of much better times. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. A promise not of a new normal, but of joy, no less. Exuberant joy with all nature joining in. They had lost so much more than I can even imagine, but still the hope, the promise was there. Is not this a promise for us as well? These are tough times, but God knows that, and God still has the promise. The end result of all this mess will indeed be a new birth. Not just going back to the way things were, but something better. God's word will not come back to him empty. God knows about all our sense of loss and tears, but God has sown seeds that will bear fruit. They will bear fruit according to God's purpose, and God's purpose is all about joy and abundance. If nothing else, our gospel reading about the parable of the sower shows that God sows his seeds abundantly. The sower sows the seeds on the path, on the rocky soil, amidst the weeds and thorns, and finally in fertile soil. Even if the chances are slim that they will take root, he still sows the seeds, and God does the same. The point is that God sows the seed of his word abundantly, all kinds of places and in all kinds of people. God sows his seeds in us, even if we do not know it. In our Thursday Bible study, several people commented that they had been, at one point of their lives or another, each kind of soil that Jesus speaks of, the hard path, the rocky ground, the thorns, and the good soil. But God's abundance knows no bounds. God gave his word each and every time. The prophet says, God's word will not return to him empty. God's word will produce a return. It will return in abundance, 30, 60, or 100-fold. And we can be part of this new creation. The parable of the sower calls us each to be fertile soil. Just a few stories about being part of this new creation. A mail carrier in Ohio had a conversation with an elderly person on his route who could not get toilet paper. He went to store after store and finally found some to bring to her. But then an idea occurred to him. What if others on his route were in need of essentials or even food? So he left notes to the vulnerable along with a note saying that he would be happy to help. And so began a real ministry. And those on the route looked forward to his coming not just for the mail, but also for urgent supplies and food, and even more, for the big smile with which he delivered them. A teenager started a letter-writing campaign to people in the hospital who could not be with their loved ones, and the idea spread virally. Feeding Tampa Bay and Faith Cafe have seen an increase, and with the help of volunteers, they have gone from a weekly distribution of 1 million meals to over 2 million. Many churches, including this one, have started streaming our services and making them available after the fact. And that will continue for the foreseeable future. On Easter, when churches are usually packed, St. John's Easter service was streamed to several hundred people, but probably less than people would have attended in person. However, the number of views of the service after the fact is in excess of 2,700 people, even given the fact that some may not have watched the whole service. The reality is, this does enable St. John's to reach so many more people than before the pandemic occurred. There is always something we can do. Yes, this pandemic and the problems of racism can be hard to cope with. We may experience a deep sense of loss and may be depressed or even in tears. But God knows about our situation. If we have tears, God weeps with us and comforts us in our loss. God's word is scattered with great abundance, and it will not return to him empty. As the prophet Isaiah says, it will accomplish his purpose. And God's purpose is always new birth and joy. This is God's promise, not just for the Israelites, but for us. A rebirth, an exciting reset for all of us. And we can be participants in this new creation. We can be the fertile soil that is part of God's purpose. And we can participate in scattering seeds as well. And who knows where they will spring up. So shall my word that be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.